Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing to follow the friends of Job as they accuse him of hypocrisy. So let's turn in our Bibles to Job, chapter 8, verse 7. Pastor Chuck begins today's lesson.
Though your beginnings were small, yet your latter end should greatly increase. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age. Take a look at history, Job. Learn from history. Prepare thyself to search concerning the fathers. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. In other words, we're here too short a time to really learn anything. To really learn, you have to look at history. Now, Job didn't live too long after the flood. And so, very aware of the longevity of those people who lived before the flood. How much can you really learn in 100 years? Well, about 1/8 of what you could learn in 800 years, I suppose. And of course, prior to the flood, those fellows lived, you know, almost a millennium. Methuselah, 969 years. That's, you know, so you evidently learn quite a bit in that length of time. So listen to the fathers. Go back and study them and learn from history. Shall they not teach thee and tell thee and utter the words out of their heart? Can a rush grow up without mire or mud? Now the rush is the Egyptian papyrus, and growing on the banks of the Nile River, it requires that mud. Now, during the flood time, the Nile overflowing, there would be pools that would be formed by the flood. And many times the rushes would grow up in these pools, but as soon as the pools dried, the rushes would wither. So he's saying, look, you grew up, you were green, you know, and you look good, but man, now you're withered, you're cut down because, you know, you lacked a true experience, a relationship with God. And so, can the flag, another form of river grass actually, grow without water? While it is yet in its greenness and not cut down and withereth before any other herb, when these reeds would grow up in these ponds, they would be the first to wither. As soon as the water receded and the ponds were dry, they would be the first thing to wither away. The other grass that was natural to the desert, you know, they would continue to flourish. But he's using this as a proverb, and it's being used against Job, just saying, look, if things were all right, you would have remained, you know, green and strong. And then he accuses Job really of being a hypocrite. So are the paths of all of those who forget God. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Man, that's a neat kind of a friend, isn't it? You're miserable. You don't know why you're having all these problems. And these guys come along and they intimate that you're some kind of a horrible sinner. You're a hypocrite. You're hiding it, you know. And you're cut down, man, and there's a reason for it. Whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. It's a reference to these sort of a spider. You've seen them make these webs that they sort of come down, and they come inside this sort of a web in the window sills where it's a sort of a little tunnel, and the spider goes back in the tunnel and sort of hides back in there and waits, you know, for a tugging on the web out there for the fly or a moth or whatever. But but the web, though it covers the spider, it's a very weak thing. I mean, you can just put your thumb down and squish the spider, and so it's nothing that you can really rely upon for safety or for strength. And so you're trusting in something that is empty, something that won't really protect you. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it will not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shoots forth in his gardens. His roots are wrapped about as a heap, and he sees the place of stone. If he destroys him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I've not seen thee. So, Job, you know, you're trusting in vain hopes. You're going to get wiped out, and people will even forget that you ever existed. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, he said, God will not cast away a perfect man, but neither will he help evildoers. Job, you're declaring that you're innocent. If you were, God wouldn't cast you away. It's obviously God has cast you away. You're seeking God's help, but he won't help evildoers. Till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing, they that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. That is, if you just get right with God, Job, things are going to be okay. God won't cast you away. He will fill your mouth with laughing, your lips with rejoicing, and those that hate you will be ashamed. Then Job said, I know that it is true. That is, that man needs to get right with God, that a right relationship with God is the most important thing in any of our lives. A right relationship with God is a relationship of complete trust, complete commitment. Now, the mistake that Job's friends were making and Job himself made was they felt that if a man had a right relationship with God, he wouldn't have any problems or he wouldn't have any trouble. Life would be a bed of roses. But that is not so. That is a false impression that many times people get, and many times we seek to sort of promote that kind of a concept. Just get right with God, man, and everything's going to be okay, you know. Well, that isn't so. I know a lot of people who, when they got right with God, they lost their jobs and they lost their homes, and a lot of things happened to them. God doesn't promise that you're not going to have any problems. He promises he'll be with you and see you through every problem. We are not immune from troubles, but we have a helper, one who is with us in trouble. And nothing happens to me but what God has allowed it to happen. And if God has allowed it to happen, there is a reason and a purpose why he has allowed it. So I learned to commit my ways unto the Lord, to commit my circumstances, my life. I learned to just turn it over and say, well, Lord, it's in your hands. You do what you deem best. And that's the only place where you can rest, when you come to a full commitment. I know it's true, Job said, but how can a man plead his case before God so as to justify himself? That's a interpretation of what the Hebrew says. is not a literal translation, but an interpretation, where he is using a term of the courts. And how should a man be just is literally, how can a man plead his cause so as to justify himself with God? If he should contend with God, he cannot answer him one question out of 1,000. If I should try to plead my case with God and God start to cross-examine me, I would be dead. I couldn't answer him one question in 1,000. For God is wise in heart. He is mighty in strength. And who has hardened himself against him and hath prospered? No one. Let me tell you this. If you harden your heart against God, and many people have, but no one has hardened their heart against God and prospered. Woe unto him who strives with his maker. If you're fighting with God, you're fighting a losing battle. Because if you win, then you've really lost. You know, if you're fighting the Holy Spirit that is seeking to draw you to Jesus Christ, and you're fighting this battle against the Spirit speaking to your heart, you're resisting God. If you win that fight, then you are lost. Woe to him who strives with his maker. God is right. You cannot harden your heart against God and prosper. And then he speaks of his observations of God's power. He removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger. He shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. The tremendous earthquakes that are so common over there in the Middle East. He commands the sun and it rises not, and he seals up the stars, that is, takes them into a black nebulae, which alone spreads out the heavens and treads upon the waves of the sea, which makes Arcturus, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. So the God who created the universe, the God who reigns over his creation, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, wonders without number. But yet he goes by me and I can't see him. The problem is God is invisible. I see his works. I see his power manifested in nature. And yet I can't see him. And then he goes on to say, he passes on also, but I perceive him not. This is probably a throwback at this first guy that was telling Job about his vision, you know, in the night. He had deep sleep and fear and trembling. The spirit passed before my face, you know, and it stood still and it spoke to me and so forth. It said, shall mortal man be more just than his God? And so he's probably a throwback to this speech that Eliphaz made, and that is, I can't see him, and, you know, I don't perceive him. Behold, he takes away, and who can stop him? Here is the declaration of this awesome sovereignty of God over his creation. And you have to just give this to God. He can do what he pleases. And who am I to stop him? God is sovereign. Now that would be terrifying to me, except I know that God is love. And to just say, well, God is sovereign, he rules, he does what he wants, man, that could just scare me. But to know that he loves me, then I can handle it. I can submit to love. If he takes away, who can hinder him? And who will say unto him, what doest thou? Paul, in talking of this sovereignty of God, gives us the picture of a potter working with a bit of clay. And he said, hath not the potter the power over that clay to make whatever kind of vessel that he wants? And who is the clay to say unto the potter, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? The potter has that power over the clay, the sovereignty of God over my life. And really, I have no real right to question what God might be doing. What are you doing, God? Yet I do. I don't have any right to, but I do. If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. In other words, the strongest of men cannot withstand God. How much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? Who am I? You know, the strongest fall before him. Who am I? Whom, though I were righteous, yet I would not answer, but would just make my plea unto the judge. I wouldn't try and justify myself before God. Even if I were righteous, I wouldn't try and declare that. I'd just make my plea, God have mercy. And that's the best plea you can make anyhow. Don't, when you come to God, try to come to God on the basis of, well, Lord, I've been doing this and I've been doing that wonderful thing. And Lord, you know, I've been handling myself pretty well of late. And so, like the Pharisee that Jesus spoke about, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like these other people out here. I pay my tithes and I do all the right things. I'm not an extortioner or whatever. And the poor publican wouldn't even lift his head towards heaven, but just smote on his breast and, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he said he went away justified. Job is saying that's the position I'd take. I wouldn't try and claim my righteousness before God. I'd just make my plea. Guilty, have mercy, your honor. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. I know people like that. If they pray and God answers, then they attribute it to something else. Well, it's just, you know, it would have happened anyhow. It was just coincidence, and it just so happened that, you know, I happened to pray at that time, but, you know, they don't want to give God anything. For he breaketh me with a tempest, and he multiplies my wounds without cause. In other words, Job is saying, I don't deserve this. I'm innocent. And these wounds. And it would seem that Job's physical condition was getting worse, if such a thing be possible. He's multiplying it and without cause. He will not allow me to take my breath, but he fills it with bitterness. If I speak of strength, oh, he is so strong. If I speak of judgment, who will even set the time for me to plead my case? If I justify myself, my own mouth will condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it will prove me to be perverse. And if I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul, I would despise my life. If I really thought I was perfect, I don't know my own heart. I don't know what's in my own heart. So this one thing, therefore, I said it, he destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. In other words, God allows the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. Job is protesting that what he is experiencing, he does not really believe that he has done things that deserve this kind of judgment. That God destroys the perfect man and the unjust man alike. If the scourge slays suddenly, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? So, he is speaking about the earth being turned over to the wicked people, and of course, this is so true. The powers of wickedness and the judges and the perversion of judgment It was terrible in the east, the bribery of the judges and all. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good. A post is one of these messengers. He'd ride the horse, you know. They carry the messages from the kings. And there was a proverb, there is nothing swifter than the post. But Job is saying that my life, my days are going by swifter than a post. They flee away and they see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hastens to the prey. And if I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself, I am afraid of all my sorrows, and I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the book of Job in our next lesson, as we find that there is no mediator between God and man. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Job. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
I pray that God will bless you this week in a very special way, that your life will be guided by the Holy Spirit, that you'll have that sense of God's nearness and especially of God's love. May He strengthen you as you walk in the midst of an evil and corrupt generation. May He keep your heart pure and holy towards Him. And thus, may you grow in your love and in your commitment to the things of God. In Jesus' name.
I'd like to invite you to listen and watch this year's Senior Pastors Conference on DVD, now available to the public. Join guest speakers like Pastor Chuck Smith.
The Bible is the final authority for our faith and our practice, and not part of it, but the whole of it.
Pastor Brian Broderson.
And as we look at all of this today, we realize as good as our arguments might be, we better have something beyond that.
Pastor Damian Kyle.
But every Christian is going to need the fullness of what is ours in Christ to be able to stand and be a witness for the Lord.
And Pastor Greg Laurie.
Ultimately, in heaven, we will look back and say all things indeed did work together for good.
May each of us experience that special touch from the Lord, and may He give us ears to hear. To order your copy on DVD with a bonus MP3, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.